سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين ابي القاسم محمد
صلى الله
والصلاة والسلام على اهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا، برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد،
صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, who has given us the opportunity to call upon him in every difficulty, every calamity, every hardship, and in every need that you and I have. If a person is faced with difficulties or calamities, it is the person's faith that we call iman that gives the person the security to be able to deal with those hardships and difficulties. The stronger the iman of a person gets, the less depression or stress a person gets, because they have the strength now to be able to deal with those hardships and calamities that other individuals do not. This iman does not just come that a person goes to sleep and wakes up as a mu'min. It is something that a person need to acquire on daily basis. The morning that I started till the night before I go to sleep, all of my actions would have determined what is my iman, what is my strength. If it was weak, I have another opportunity tomorrow, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, for me to increase in that. When you understand that iman is something that goes up and down, we cannot be content with any stage of iman. Because when you go and try to see what is the height that a person can achieve in this security, there is no limit. There is no such thing that you will come to a plateau and say that there cannot be any increase in iman. The individuals who have earned and gained this iman in history, they have shown humanity how high a person can go. Yet as high as they can go, because it deals with the greatness and the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any limit. So therefore, iman associated with the one that does not have any limit is also going to be limitless. Understood? The highest level in humanity that was achieved, that earned this iman, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala.
And then afterwards, Imam Masumin alayhi salam, and specifically Imam Ali alayhi salam, happens to be those individuals who reach the heights of Iman. And after that, their followers, their true followers, they were called Shia. They were the ones who achieved those heights, like Hazrat Salman Farsi, like Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari, Hazrat Salman Farsi achieved that level of Iman where the Holy Prophet looked at him and said that Minna Ahlul Bayt. Hazrat Salman Farsi has achieved that level, that degree of Iman. He is so rich in Iman that he can be now called that he is from among us, Ahlul Bayt. So when we look at our day, what we have lost and what we have gained, we should be looking at how much Iman we have gained or how much Iman we have lost. And that is the only thing that you will be able to take from this earth. Your a'mal would be determined by your Iman. A person who has pure Iman, their intentions are also pure. If their Iman is not pure, their intentions are also not going to be pure. Okay. With me? And remember I told you about answering the question? Is that whatever I'm talking about in the before that, that's probably what the answer I'm looking for. Not just that I'm looking for, it's just to get you involved. It is your amal are accepted because of your iman. If the iman is there, amal are accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts your amal, which means amal means your actions. And this, when you say actions, it's not necessarily just your salah and your dua and Quran and so forth. Any action performed with the intention of having to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase in your iman. With me? So could we actually check on that account? Could I check what is the account of my iman? Jee? Could I check? If I could not check what is the account, what is the figure of my iman in this world, how would I be able to increase it or decrease it? Right? If I was only to be told what iman is on the day of judgment, at that time it's too late. When I get there, the account balance shows minus 50, Muslim. I cannot do this, and like I cannot, it's already, you know, I don't know if you have this, like overdrawn. I cannot do anything about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have placed a system that would tell me whether my iman is increasing or decreasing. That system that He has devised is the system of test. When I see myself not passing the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, that means that I have low iman. But if I'm able to fulfill those obligations and tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, that means that my iman is higher and is okay. Like for example, if you are told that when you come to the masjid, do not have your cell phone with you, well, I don't think there is a sign saying don't have your cell phone with you, because there will be even less people who will attend. They said that this is like, you know, a place a person sits down in the before the door, they take your cell phone, they give you a number, and then say when you're done with the majlis, you come back and we will give you your cell phone back. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Maybe it should be implemented. If I know that, for example, in the majlis, I'm not supposed to look at my cell phone, and if I do, what is the sign of? It's the weakness of Iman. If I'm not able to listen to my parents, that's a sign that I have weakness of Iman. If the hardships and the calamities that I have to face on a daily basis, they get me down and I get stressed and I get depressed and I'm on anti-depression pills, or my BP is now getting not in control because of the external influences, not that if a person is actually ill and there is a chemical imbalance, but a lot of the times the external influences actually makes the BP go high. If these calamities are affecting my blood pressure, that means that my BP is high, but Iman is low. We cannot accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for me after I have tried my very best and I have relied on Him in the condition of my heart. When I cannot accept His decree, it means that I have lower Iman. So you see, every single action that we're going to perform, the test that we are going to go through, remember all the discussion we've had for the last 5 hours. Right? You remember all the discussion we had for the last 5 hours, where we started, how we connected the dots, why we have come to this place. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, all that I have created for the reason is? For a test. The verse of the Quran says that I created in the heavens and the earth in 6 days, my throne on the water, so that I can test you among you who performs the best of actions. Right? So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created has been created for a test. Now, when you look at the sun, what do you think your test is? To find out whether your Iman is there or not. You look at the sun, right? Or you have to stop yourself to look at the sun. Yeah, try to stop yourself to look at the sun. When you look at the sun and you see the energy and the light that it provides, the feeling of love and thankfulness should come in the heart of a mu'min. When a blessing is put in front of a mu'min and the gratitude and humility does not come in the heart, that means that the person has low Iman. With me? So I'm giving you like the, you know how your gas tank goes empty and full and empty and full? So how to increase your Iman is to perform and be successful in the tests that you have to face on a daily basis. Every time you pass your test, your Iman increases. Shall I give you another example? Are you okay? Anything to do with Minecraft or PS4 or TV or internet or phones? Because that's probably the only time you guys get attentive towards me. Well, you're attentive towards me other times too, but your eyes lit up when I say Minecraft, you know. If a person is wasting time, what is that sign of? Low Iman. The most precious thing in this universe, the biggest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon His creation is the blessing of time. Imagine if Hazrat Hud did not have that time frame of that one night where he was able to decide between heaven and hell. Where do you think he would be? If he didn't change. A night made him Hur, as his mother named him. A night made him a person who was blessed by Imam Hussain al-Sattusalam to put the handkerchief of his mother on his forehead. One night. How precious was that night to Hazrat Hur? It meant the whole universe. If you were to come to Hazrat Hur and say, give me everything that you own, and I'll take this night, he will say, I will not give you anything that I own to have you take this night away from me. And we go through the day and night, we don't realize, we don't utilize, and then we try to think, why is it that my Iman is so low? And if we utilize the time, which is the biggest blessings, our mind, our iman would not be this low. Right? So playing 6 hours of Minecraft is what? Waste of time. How much is a good time to play Minecraft? 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours? 2 hours.
Not 2 hours.
2 hours? Okay. Alright, so if you any time you see yourself playing Minecraft for more than 2 hours, just know that this is the sign of the weakness of your iman. Anytime you see
play Minecraft for only a 12th of a day.
12th of a day, meaning like 12 hours?
No, 12.
12th. 1 hour.
12th.
12th. That means 2 hours, okay. Oh, he was giving me a ratio. Could you recite aloud salawat for? Okay, so enough said now. What I had asked that what we were going to do is to bring some traditions and also some of the verses of the Holy Quran that deal with the topic that we are discussing, so that we can go through those traditions and you can try to remember them as much as you can, but it will solidify of the things that we have mentioned to you so far. Okay, so if you are ready, and the tradition that I have is actually quite long, so I'm going to use the means, which is just means, you know. That's right, my phone. Okay, but just because I've got my phone out doesn't mean that you can also take your phone out. Unless you're looking at the same tradition as what I'm looking at. So this one is in Biharul Anwar, and it's the fifth volume. You can find it on page 226. Okay. So I will see if we can, you know, go step by step and see where we can explain this. Okay, so when Hazrat Adam والسلام, was created, this is now Imam Jafar Sadiq والسلام, is mentioning this. There's a particular verse in the Holy Quran that suggests that Hazrat Adam والسلام's progeny was brought out, and the progeny was asked to promise a few things. So it is talking about that time, okay, when we had to make a promise. And that particular verse too we will discuss, but it will take about an hour for us to discuss that. So we're just going to go through the tradition first. Okay? So what we had to promise according to the tradition was to say that you believe in the prophethood of every single prophet. Okay. For you to believe in the prophethood of every single prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to send on the face of this earth. We also had to promise the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and Imam Masumin alayhi salam. The youngsters are not allowed to sit down on the chairs. They need to come closer. Only the elders should be sitting on the chairs. As a respect to the majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, only if you are ill or old or cannot sit down on the floor, you should sit on a chair. Otherwise, it is disrespectful to sit down on a chair. The minbar is the representation of the Holy Prophet's place. And the rest of us, to show humility, we sit down on the floor. Can you recite a salawat, please?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And there were other promises too, so we'll go through the other promises later on and why it was there. So after the promises were done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, see, what do you see? He said to him, Mada tara? What do you see? And Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam says that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam saw, what he saw was that the whole place was filled with his progeny that were in the form of light. With me? So this time that is being discussed in this tradition and many other traditions talks about your life before this life. With me? So you lived before, and this life is just a continuation of that life that you started in another world. What do you say when a person dies? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What does that mean?
We are from Allah and we go back.
We are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We don't say that we are of this earth and to this earth we
return.
Only our body does. Our soul goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we came from there. You know that, right? You say that, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you say that all the time. Hazrat Adam والسلام, and Hazrat Hawa السلام, they landed on this earth. You know that, right? They were not off this earth. They lived in another place and they were brought onto this earth. That's true or not? You guys know about this, true? We don't have to go through the story where Hazrat Adam and Hawa السلام, they lived in a, right, in a garden, and then from that garden they came onto this earth. Right? And who are you? You are the progeny of Hazrat Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. So therefore, when you have to go back home, where do you have to go? Where your parents came from. True? Like when, just a simple example, when a person looks at you, they say, you tell them your name, my name is Muhammad. What do they say? Where are you from? And if you say that I'm from America or you say I'm from Canada, they say no, no, no. Where are you originally from? Right? Because you don't look like a person who would be quote unquote the stereotypical looks with the eye color and the hair color. So therefore, regardless, even if you were born in America or in Canada or anywhere else, if your eye color is different from the people that were there or the hair color is different, you're always going to be asked, where are you originally from? So where are you from? Originally from? Wherever you're?
Pakistan.
Pakistan, where your parents came from.
India.
True or not?
True.
This we know about this. And where did our parents come from? They came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where are we originally from?
India.
Right?
India.
Yeah. India, Pakistan is our parents that are here. But Hazrat Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to him is? Yeah. Okay, so what he saw was in that place he saw a lot of different lights, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are your progeny. And then Hazrat Adam asked, oh Allah, why have you created so much of my progeny? And also, what are you intending from the promises that you have taken from them? Okay, so two things. One, Hazrat Adam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you create so many of my progeny? Right? And second, he asked, why did you take the promise from my progeny? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so that they can worship me and that they do not put a partner with me. See? وَلَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Shay means thing. So it's not that if somebody says that I don't put a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning another god or another being, that I'm not doing a polytheistic act. Even if it is a thing that a person is putting as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be classified as shirk. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond? He said that I have created so many of you, and I've taken the promise from you, so that you worship me and you do not put a thing as a partner with me. Think. So the purpose of your creation now is being told, right? وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِرُسْلِي, so that you believe in my prophets, right? The prophet that I will send, and you obey them. So one is that you believe, and the other is that you obey. Do you believe in the Holy Prophet?
Yes.
So just saying that I believe in the Holy Prophet is not enough. What do you also have to do?
Obey
him. And then Hazrat Adam alayhi salam said, why is it that I see these lights? Some of them happen to be bigger lights and some are smaller lights. So that some of the lights, light is much brighter, and that some of the lights, light is small. And some of the lights do not have any light. So they were among the progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There were lights that were really bright, there were lights that were dim, and then there were lights that didn't have light. And like, for example, you have a tube light. If it's fused, what happens? It's still a light, but it's fused. Right? So they're still the progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There, it's classified into three groups. One, bright light, dim light, and no light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is something to really listen for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have created them so that I can test them in every single situation. See? So I can test them in every single situation. And now, you see what we've been saying? That every single situation that you are having is actually a test. Then Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Oh Allah, give me the permission to speak." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Speak," like he wanted to ask another question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Speak." He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Yeah, you can speak." And he said that my soul is from you. Hazrat Adam said that my soul is from you, and my tabi'ah is the opposite the way you are. You know, what is tabi'ah? Tabi'ah is your instinct. Tabi'ah is your animalistic side that we talked about. What are we? The weakest animal on this planet. And our soul is the strongest creation in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soul. And we'll explain that too. Okay? Alright? Okay. So, then Hazrat Adam alayhi wasallam said that, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why couldn't you just create them, everybody would be the same?" So if you look around, everybody is different. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is asking, why couldn't you have not created everybody to be the same? With the same instinct. Even our instinct differs, is unique. You know, how many people want to be doctors when they grow up? If they're already doctors, they don't have to raise their hands. How many people want to be doctors? How many people want to be engineers? More engineers than doctors, okay. How many people want to be plumbers? If you don't raise your hand, guess what a lawyer and doctor is going to need when their sink is clogged?
Plumber.
They're going to need a plumber. If nobody becomes a plumber and everybody becomes a lawyer and doctor, what happens? Right. In the end, actually, the plumbers, they do make more money. And the reason why you guys are not maybe motivated, because our conditioning in our culture and our parents have done such that you should not go towards skill work. When in reality, if your aptitude happens to be, there is nothing wrong with a person pursuing their career or their life as means for any of the skill traits. There's nothing wrong. If you have any of the skill traits, you are still earning your livelihood, which is means, and you're also content with what you have, and you're helping other people. You know how much the doctor is going to be happy once the sink is unclogged? He will be humble in front of the plumber. You know how much a doctor would be humble in front of a mechanic that fixes the car? They'd be like, "Aap sab, bahut bahut shukriya aapka." If that mechanical car does not get fixed, he cannot go to his, his office, and he cannot see anybody. Right? So take these ideas out of your head that it is only, you know, doctors and lawyers and engineers that we have to be. You can follow your aptitude. Aptitude is another word for tabia. Everybody has a different aptitude. Some people have the aptitude of becoming a lawyer. Some people have aptitude of becoming a doctor. Some people have the aptitude to gain any of the other skills, to become a plumber or a mechanic or an electrician or whatever the case happens to be. Some of the elders are looking at me. Now we tried our very best to make our kids not to become plumbers and electricians and mechanics, and now here you are telling them that you can? Yes, you can. This status-based culture that we have had has not given us anything but arrogance and false pride. We haven't achieved anything with this sort of mentality that we are trying to transfer and impose on our children. What we have achieved is just everybody being status conscious, and in that status conscious, going and earning by any means. Even having a fake degree of being a lawyer or a doctor to put it on the wall so that people can see, oh wow, this is a doctor or a lawyer. We haven't gotten anywhere with that attitude. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Adam is asking, that why did you not make them the same? Why did you not give them the same amount of capacity? Why did you not give them the same aptitude or tabia or instinct? Why did you not give them one color? If you look around, we have so many different shades of color. No two skin colors will be probably the same. Anna? Yes or no? Right? There's always a slight, variation in skin color. Even if it's the same parents, like mother and father, same parents, but the skin color would differ in their children. So Hazrat Adam is saying, why did you not make everybody on the planet as white? Right? And made them the same level in age. Why did not everybody live to be like 80 years old? What if everybody lived to be 80 years old? Maybe Kiamat will come very fast, but everybody would know when they would die. That's true too. But if everybody lived to be 80 years old, you know that by the time I finish, if I finish in 1 hour, 15,300 kids will be born, and 9,800 people would have died in that 1 hour. And all of the 15,300 kids that would have been born, they would come into this world with a specific, like they would live in this world for a specific amount of time, which will be different from everybody else. With me? So why did you not make everybody to live the same amount of life? Why did you not give them the same amount of sustenance? Why did you make somebody more powerful than the other? Why did you make somebody to become jealous with the other? Why did you have people become upset with the difference of things? With the difference of opinions? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh Adam, you spoke from my soul, but you have, because of what you do not know, you've put yourself in difficulty by asking this question." Okay? So the short form of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Adam is saying that, why did you not create everybody the same? in health, in age, in wealth, in capacity, and so forth and so forth. With me? So this was not the intention of Allah SWT to do that. And then he says, he says that it is in my knowledge the reason why I've given these differences. Okay? The reason why I've given these differences is because of my knowledge and because of my intent and because of my order and because of my decree. If you can recite a salawat, so come back to me. After a very long time, I'm doing this. That I wanted to actually go through this whole tradition, so that you are introduced to traditions and you are motivated to go and look for them. I could have also given this tradition to you without having to look at the phone, right? I let you go for 30 seconds by looking at the phone, and then and you're gone. Okay, so I'm still looking at you while I'm looking at the phone. Just think of it this way. So he said, I've created all of these differences because of my knowledge, because of my intent, because of my order, because of my decree. I've created them with all of these differences so that these differences are not only just in men, but I've made these differences even in the jinn. And then, وَإِنَّمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لِيَعْبُدُونِي, that I've created the reason why I've created men and jinn, so that they can worship me. And I've created the heavens for whomever is going to be my slave and obey me. And whoever obeys my prophets. And if anybody goes away from my worship and disobeys my prophets, then I have created for them the hellfire. And then he says that, I have created your progeny so that they can be tested, so that we can find out who performs the best of actions among you. Right? So how many things that we learn now about our purpose? How many things did we learn? One is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the prophets. Right? Not putting a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody or anything. Right? So all of these differences are there so that we can be tested. And after we've been tested, if we have done all of our tasks, we go to heaven. And if we have disobeyed, we go to hell. Imagine if everybody was the same. Everybody would go to heaven. There would be no test. Couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in heaven before bringing into this world?
Yes.
He could have. But then, would you have known that you're really a heavenly person? No. So when you are tested and the prophets are sent and the book is sent and you are tested between all of the things that are around you, you find out what is your capacity and whether you are a heavenly person or not. Okay? So far okay? Yes? Okay. So all of the differences that we have is for the purpose of test. What if the wives were not created? Would the husbands be able to get a test? Would the husbands be tested? No. What if the husbands were not created? Would the wives get a test? No. What if you were all white? Would anybody be prejudiced? Because we have different skin colors and different eye colors and hair colors, the opportunity of somebody being prejudiced exists and somebody deciding not to be prejudiced. Right? What if all of us were rich? Would there be an opportunity for people to be tested with their wealth? No. Because there are some that are poor, the rich are tested through the poor, and the poor are tested through the rich. What if everybody was knowledgeable? Then there would be no test of knowledge. So there are some people who are not knowledgeable, some people who are knowledgeable. Knowledgeable people are tested by the non-knowledgeable, and the non-knowledgeable are tested by the knowledgeable. What if they were all just brothers, and you didn't have a sister? That would be cool. No, then you won't be tested. Right? You won't be tested. Right? What if all the high schools, with me? What if all the high schools were like, everybody over there was like, you know, just high up in Iman, and everybody was like praying, and everybody was with hijab, and everybody in the brother's side would have, you know, a beard, and nobody actually swore, nobody hurt anybody, nobody was prejudiced, nobody called you a terrorist, nobody did this, nobody did that, nobody bullied you? What would be? That would be cool? But then you won't be tested. You will not find out who you are. You will not find out how much is Iman that you have. You will not find out whether you are following the prophets or not, whether you are following the teachings of the Quran or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in a high school where there are different skin colors, there are different aptitudes, there are bullies, there are people who are cool, there are people who are not cool, there are people who are, you know, loved by Facebook, there are people who are not loved by Facebook, there are people who have an iPhone 6S, and there are people who have the dinosaur age phone, right? So they have all of these different things, and when you are put into the situation, you are continuously being tested, and you figure out who you are. Right? So the reality of all of these differences is so that we can be tested, so we can find out who we are and know what our Iman is. So that we can constantly improve. Sahih? What if the hardships of Karbala, the hardships and the pain of Karbala was not there? Would anybody know the status of Imam Hussein? The event of Karbala showed humanity the status of Imam Hussein and the people who followed him. And also the history showed who were the people of Kufa, who were the people of Medina and Makkah. And the event of Karbala tests us, all of us. It tests us whether you realize the worth of the sacrifice of Imam Hussein or not. You can be tested by asking a question. You cried for the Masaib of Bibi Sakina. Do you know why she was hurt? And you answer, yes. I know why she was hurt, is so that her father can protect the religion of Islam. So if you know that her father sacrificed himself and Bibi Sakina had to be made prisoner and go through all of those difficulties to save Islam, then how come you're not following it? When the choice comes for you to stay home or go out on the street to put your voice against any injustice, why do you stay at home when Bibi Zainab had her hands tied? She had seen all of those difficulties, yet she stood up against the injustice in Kufa, in Sham. You who do matam, who realize that this action is the sign of your emotions for the love of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that you can perform this matam and have the bruises to show somebody, but you're not willing and you're not able to get up in the morning to perform that action that will take you 5 or 10 minutes. You who cry on Imam Sajjad being a prisoner, for him to be shackled and for him to have the iron necklace in his neck. This necklace that was put into Imam Sajjad's neck was thick, was made out of iron, and it had nails that stuck inside. Every time he would move, this necklace of iron would get hot. With every step that he would take, these nails would puncture his neck. The chains that was put in his leg, every movement of his feet was taking the skin off of his leg. And he was connected with the rope in which the prisoners, the daughters of the prophets, were tied. The children were tied. And they had taken that rope, they tied their necks. Can you imagine every step that Imam Sajjad took? How painful it was for him and how painful it was for the children. Those little children that were tied in the neck, every time Imam Sajjad walked, this rope, if everybody took the same step, then this rope would not get tightened. This rope would get tightened, it would hurt, suffocate the children. Imam Sajjad knew that with every step that he took. If he had fallen, if he would fall, he would know that this rope is going to get tightened. If he would slow down, they would hit him on his back. But when they used to hit him on his back, the signs of those hits on his back remained for 35 years. Can you imagine his condition? Can you imagine that he has to walk from morning till Maghrib in the market of Sham? In this condition, while people are standing there laughing at them, while they're throwing stones at him, while Bibi Sakina is part of those children, can you imagine how difficult it would be to walk for a whole day? If you can imagine, you cannot imagine. But know that Imam Sajjad was taken from Kufa to Sham. In between every city, this caravan of prisoners were taken into the city. Can you imagine what the children would feel? Can you imagine what the daughters of the prophets felt? Can you feel a little bit of their shame? Can you feel how they would feel when these people are looking at them and they're laughing and they're made into prisoners, or these little children who are orphans, they have to walk all day in front of them as a show? Where they are brought into a courtyard as prisoners. Well, they have to stay in a prison. When Bibi Sakina used to be in the prison, she used to be sitting there. What do you think was going through her mind? You know, maybe I should not have asked us at the bus, my uncle, to bring water. Maybe I shouldn't have asked. If I hadn't asked, if the children hadn't asked, maybe I would have my uncle. Why are these people who believe in our grandfather. Why did they hit me? What was the fault of Ali Asghar? These difficulties are supposed to make you responsible. They're not just there to listen and to shed a few tears. They're supposed to make you responsible so that you understand that in this test that you've been tested on hearing the masaib of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that you are responsible to give an answer on the Day of Judgment. So Allah, make us realize our responsibility towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allah, make us fulfill the promises that we made to you before we came into this world. O Allah, give us the opportunity to increase in our iman by going through the tests on a daily basis. Let us see the true path and let us not go astray. O Allah, make the coming of our imam as soon as possible and make us successful in that test of the appearance of the imam of the time.
سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
سلام ای باب رحمت باب جنم سلام ای باب رحمت باب جنم سلام ای رهبر والا حسین جانم سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر سلام ای زاده زهرا حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم غمت را از دل و جان میپذیرم غمت را از دل و جان میپذیرم کنم برپا از آیت را حسین
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم سلام کعبه دلها حسین جانم سلام شمع من فلها حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر سلام ای زاده زهرا حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
همیشه بلبم که ای مولا حسین جوانم نقامت را از دل و جمینی پذیرم قامت را از دل و جمینی پذیرم کنم بر پا ازا یک را حسین جوانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم